From WYPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. A new pilot program uses Medicaid funds to afford housing for the homeless. In Baltimore, 155 formerly homeless people are now living in apartments and row houses. LaWanda Williams of Healthcare for the Homeless tells about building lasting relationships with clients. And Christopher Thomas Cuddy of Mercy Health Systems describes the potential of this approach to reduce emergency room costs. Then Jennifer Randolph, who was homeless for 2 years and suffered a stroke, now lives in a one-bedroom apartment. She details how support is tailored to her needs.
The assistance I've received from the peer, from my therapist, from everyone is sometimes an extra phone call or text message or something that reminds me or jogs my memory.
It's On the Record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're On the Record. 155 people who used to have no home now do. The result of a new collaboration among the City of Baltimore, 10 hospitals, and the nonprofit Healthcare for the Homeless. It's called the Assistance in Community Integration Services Pilot Program. It uses funds from Medicaid, the public health care program for the poor, along with $2 million from hospitals in the city, to pay for housing and supportive services like counseling, transportation, and occupational therapy. What impact can stable housing have on a person's health? Will this program reduce health costs from emergency room visits? Joining me to talk about this pilot program is LaWanda Williams, licensed clinical social worker and director of housing services for Healthcare for the Homeless. She's been with the healthcare provider for 9 years. Thanks for being here.
You're welcome. Thank you for having us.
And also with us is Christopher Thomas Cuddy, Senior Vice President for Clinical Programs and Chief of Staff at Mercy Health Systems. He also serves on the board of Healthcare for the Homeless. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So far, 100 units of housing have been assigned through this pilot project, and that has provided housing for 155 people, as I said. Are these individuals, families? How are they chosen?
Yeah, they're a mix of individuals and families. And so we worked very closely with the mayor's office. They were aware that we had vacancies available through our ACES pilot, and they were able to match individuals based on established criteria with our program.
So it sounds like this process of prioritizing who needs to get stable housing quickest, that's a process that's existed already.
It is.
What's different now?
Well, what's different now is that this particular project allows us to, for the first time, really in our work, to be able to utilize Medicaid funding to provide the supportive services that individuals need. We know that many people who are experiencing chronic homelessness, they are not folks who have only had the insult of homelessness. We know that homelessness in and of itself is a traumatic experience, and many people have had traumatic insults prior to becoming homeless. And so we know that oftentimes individuals need a lot of support to exit homelessness. And so this project really allows us to be able to leverage providing housing stability through subsidized housing and also having a secure funding stream to provide the support of wraparound services that individuals need to be successful.
Chris Thomas Cuddy, when was Mercy approached to participate in this?
I think there was a meeting a little over a year ago with all the hospital CEOs. I think all of us have been involved with the issue of homelessness in the city. At Mercy, we were one of the founding members of Healthcare for the Homeless, and we're two blocks away. So mm-hmm. they've been a partner and a friend and a neighbor for a really long time. And so this was something that was viewed as an opportunity to do something different that we saw could actually make a permanent difference in a lot of our neighbors' lives.
Explain that a little bit more, because listeners might be thinking it's a nice thing for hospitals to contribute, but it's It's a business decision for you guys, right?
For us, and I think for many of the other hospitals, it's clearly about mission. And we've been on the corner of Calvert and Saratoga for almost 150 years, and we're started to take care of the vulnerable and the poor. And this is the clearest extension of our mission that we can think through. But it's also better care. So we see almost 1,900 homeless individuals at Mercy a year, almost 5,000 encounters or visits a year. And it can be very frustrating for providers and nurses and others who really want to give the best care. I just think like a day like today, it's super hot outside. And how do you keep medications refrigerated? How do you do the follow-up things that are necessary at home if home is not stable or home is not available and you're carrying things in bags? It can just make the whole process of caring for someone much more difficult than it needs to be. So this opportunity to have people to have permanent, stable housing, it's the gateway to health. And, you know, I think the team at HCH has always said that housing is healthcare, and I think we all fundamentally agree with that.
But it will also help the hospital's bottom line if the same patients are not being readmitted and readmitted with problems caused by the conditions you just described.
I think it really should. So hospitals are now in Maryland required to think about the total cost of care for the population of people that we serve. And so it ought to help if someone is not repeat visiting the emergency room or having to try to take care of a chronic condition outside of a normal relationship with a primary care doctor or someone else. But I got to tell you, I think if we tried to do that math and equate what would the return on the investment be and what proved this was working already, it might have taken us longer than the year it took us to get going. And so I think to the credit of all the CEOs involved, they said, this is the right thing. Let's get going.
LaMonda, healthcare for the homeless's role is to be the service provider. What does that mean?
So it really means that we are really leveraging our services to wrap around the individuals that we're working with. When I say that, really thinking about what do people need in order to maintain stable housing. So our team of providers, which include, we have therapist case managers on our team, we have peer support staff on our team, we have occupational services that are available for folks. And so one of the things that we have found is that when we wrap our services around the individual, and meet them where they are, people tend to be able to engage in ways that they have not been able to, you know, living their private lives out in public spaces. So we are very much invested in working with people. And one of the things that we do first and foremost is to take a lot of time to establish relationships with people. People who are homeless are quite invisible. And I think allowing individuals to be able to feel seen and be heard and have a voice is the very first thing that we do. But in addition to those things, we're providing intensive case management services. We're providing assistance with looking for homes and really talking with people about what is community? Where do people want to live? You know, moving out of homelessness and being able to stabilize your medical issues is more than just about having a place, but it really is about having a home and having a home that you have had a part in cultivating and feeling connected to the community. So it's, you know, really helping people to leverage those things, allowing individuals to feel that they have people that they can come to when they're having an issue with navigating a landlord issue or trying to figure out how to call city services to have their, you know, bulk trash picked up. So that's a big part of what we do for individuals that we're working with through this pilot project.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with LaWanda Williams, Director of Housing Services for Healthcare for the Homeless, and Christopher Thomas Cuddy, Senior Vice President for Clinical Programs and Chief of Staff at Mercy Health Systems. We're talking about a pilot program funded by Medicaid and a matching $2 million from city hospitals to provide 200 units of housing for individuals and families experiencing homelessness. Let's talk about the houses. Are people living in apartments, in row homes?
a mix of all those things. So we have individuals who are living in apartments. We have individuals that are living in townhomes. Typically, those are our families that we're working with. This project really allows us to be able to have a mix of different funding opportunities for people to have subsidized housing. So we partnered very close with the Housing Authority of Baltimore City. And through that partnership, we were really able to grant a lot of access to individuals with respect to helping them get connected to Section 8 vouchers, site-based vouchers, public housing units, in addition to some internal resources that we had to be able to provide direct housing services and housing subsidies for people that we're serving. So it's a mix.
Chris Thomas-Cuddy, you mentioned that healthcare in the emergency room is not necessarily the best for ongoing healthcare, that it's not the best continuing. We hear about people who are homeless being cut off from connection with primary care doctors, et cetera. So how will this affect that?
In general, if you don't have a place to go at night, it's hard to think about many other things that are going on in your life. So I think healthcare for the homeless has a long history of providing excellent, high-quality care to their homeless clients. In the hospital setting, you know, often people will come into the emergency room or if they need specialty care. So we treat people in lots of different ways. I think with this program, you're going to find more people who have the ability to engage in more of a relationship with their providers, whether that's at HCH or at any of the hospitals. And I do think you'll see over time the ability to care for some of the chronic conditions in a more normal fashion with medication adherence and other kind of follow-up visits being adhered to. I think it should benefit the whole system.
LaWanda, are there other pilots like this elsewhere in Maryland?
Yeah, so we are one of a few places that receive funding. There is a pilot project in Prince George's County, Montgomery County, and also Cecil County. So of the first segment of 300 slots to serve individuals, we received 100, and those remaining 200 were divided between those jurisdictions.
So what are you hoping will be the ripple effects from this pilot project?
I'll say the one thing that I think folks have to take credit for this initiative is I had a public sector career before my current mm-hmm. one, and you would find times where people would allocate housing units for certain initiatives, and this one, in 1 year, they filled 100 slots, and the 14 of which were for families. And the speed with which they were able to move people with all these very specific criteria into permanent supportive housing was lightning fast. And I think the success that they had, you mentioned, coordination and care. I think they proved a 33% reduction in overall healthcare costs and a big reduction in emergency room visits. They showed that it can work very quickly with this model. And I think that's another reason why it was quick that the hospitals saw tangible benefits and a team that could execute on the plan. And so to take it to scale from 100 units now to 200 units, where do we hope it goes? I think I and everyone else who has any involvement with this would love to see our community as a whole understand that we need way more than 200. Mm-hmm. We need enough to put everyone who's currently experiencing homeless in a unit. And so if we can leverage the Medicaid dollars for the supportive services, then it's about being creative about finding units, finding the right families or individuals and getting them in those units, and then we can start expanding and expanding.
Absolutely. People who are experiencing homelessness are our neighbors. They, want the same things that we want. And we at Healthcare for the Homeless believe that providing people with the supportive services and the housing that they deserve is really the dignified right thing to do. And so for me, it's really about looking and leveraging our partnerships, working in tandem with other people who are of like mind and are wanting to make sure that everyone is included and that no one is left out at the end of the day. And so I'm looking forward to the next 100 and the next 100 and the next 100, perhaps.
Well, I'm grateful to you both for talking to us about it. We need to take a quick break here. Christopher Thomas Cuddy is Senior Vice President for Clinical Programs and Chief of Staff at Mercy Health Systems, as well as a board member of Healthcare for the Homeless. Thanks so much for talking to us.
Thank you for having us.
LaWanda Williams is Healthcare for the Homeless is Director of Housing Services. She's a licensed clinical social worker. She'll stick with us as we take this quick break. When we're back, a woman who was matched with housing through this pilot program describes how homelessness affected her health. I'm Sheila Cass. Stay with us.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member support at 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. On any given night in Baltimore City, an estimated 2,500 people are homeless. A new pilot program has brought together city and federal resources to provide 200 units of housing for individuals and families experiencing homelessness. One of the project's goals is to study how reliable shelter can improve people's health and help them manage chronic illness. I'm speaking with LaWanda Williams, Director of Housing Services for Healthcare for the Homeless. And also with us is Jennifer Randolph, a client of Healthcare for the Homeless, who now has a home through this pilot program. Welcome, Jennifer.
Thank you for having me.
What led up to your being homeless?
Well, when I can remember back, the first government shutdown impacted me sorely.
And this was several years ago.
Yes. But then I was taking care of two aging parents, and I had adopted a child from Africa, and all that was on my shoulders. So I was underemployed, especially with the furloughs back then. And eventually I lost everything.
How did not having a home affect your health?
Wasn't very good. The blessing that Healthcare for the Homeless had for me was that they had a mobile crisis unit or mobile team. And so there was my doctor out in the streets, and sometime I could just go to him and get assistance or see if there was time for an appointment. Then I had a healthcare manager who was able to take me to and from the different appointments and keep the communication lines open between me and the doctor. And they monitored my glucose levels and everything, my blood pressure. They've been marvelously helpful to me.
What were the illnesses you needed a doctor's help with?
Diabetes, high blood pressure, pretty much. And I was very susceptible to upper respiratory infections.
LaWanda, what kinds of health conditions are other people in this program trying to manage? What's typical?
Typically, we work with individuals. A vast majority of our clients are living with diabetes. Hypertension we see quite a bit of. We see a lot of respiratory challenges that ultimately leads to people having CHF, congestive heart failure. Yeah, so we see a number of those comorbidities existing in the population that we serve. And so the linkage services and the supportive services that we provide are critical to helping people to connect with their healthcare providers.
So, Jennifer, you have a home now. Tell us about your apartment.
Yes, I was given a very nice one-bedroom apartment.
Which neighborhood?
Oh, it's over by the zoo, as a matter of fact.
Uh-huh.
And I love Sunday nights when the African drummers are just playing. I know the animals love it, but I enjoy it.
So and you've got your own kitchen and...
Yes, which I'm so excited to get back into cooking.
How long were you not in a home of your own? How long did that last?
About 2 years with the shelter, and then they connected me to Healthcare for the Homeless, and that has been a marvelous help.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast, speaking with Jennifer Randolph, who got housing through the Assistance in Community Integration Services pilot program. It's using Medicaid funds and a $2 million contribution from 10 hospitals in Baltimore City to provide 200 units of housing for homeless individuals and families. Also with us is LaWanda Williams, Director of Housing Services for Healthcare for the Homeless. LaWanda, tell us about another client who has gotten housing through this program.
Just thinking broadly, I can remember working with someone who had had significant, very long history of homelessness, chronic homelessness, and had been trying to navigate his life in a wheelchair living along the Fallsway, right near our office, actually. He was referred to our team, and we were able to work with him. One of the very first things that we did was to talk with him about what his needs were to be able to be successful. So, you know, doing an assessment of how far he can walk to get to the grocery stores, where were the grocery stores located, and thinking about what sort of mobility challenges he would need to face and looking for units that had elevator access. So, you know, working with him to find a place like that, and we were ultimately able to do that. Once he was able to get into housing, we really started to see a light bulb come on where there was a little bit of sort of exhaling that happened with him, and really being able to engage in the medical system in ways that he had not ever done in many, many, many years.
Give me an example.
Coming into our clinic, being seen, having an interest in medications, and really thinking about how I need to structure my living space to support me being able to take my medications, all of those things. And we see today going into his place, it's lovely. It's lovely. And it's been tremendously rewarding to see people sort of turn that corner and finally be able to take a deep breath, which people don't get to do as often as they should.
One important part of Healthcare for the Homeless support is peer services and peer recovery specialists. What role do peers play?
An absolutely critical one. Our peers work with individuals who they can relate to because of their lived experience. Oftentimes, our clients are working with many clinical providers, and sometimes people just want to be. And so peers allow people to just be and to be with someone who gets it and is a living example of what recovery looks like. We talk a lot about trauma and the impact of trauma, and certainly we need to appreciate the impacts of trauma and what that has meant in people's lives. But there's a recovery piece to that as well. And so I think having peers on our team has been absolutely critical for being able to have a mirror up in a relationship that shows that recovery and wellness is absolutely possible. It's not outside of your reach whatsoever.
Jennifer, I understand you have connected with a peer.
Yes, I have.
How important is that relationship?
It's very important because on days that are not so sunny or brilliant, even just talking to her and laughing about some of the silliest things or the most ridiculous things, and her not judge me, but actually laugh with me and be real with and human with. And then when you're not so sunny, you know, things aren't going so well, it's good to have someone sometime to just talk to about the situation and to help you brainstorm a solution. Especially if you suffer with depression, that's a very common situation. When you're just given a place but no moral or mental support in which to pull yourself up, it's very desolate. We need people that can talk with us, laugh with us, empathize with our situations, and sometimes be part of the solution for us. That's a very important part.
How has this whole experience of getting your new apartment mm-hmm. and the support that's come with it, how has that compared to what you expected?
Oh, my goodness. It's far beyond what I expected because I'm not even from Baltimore. And I didn't think they would really care about me. I was out of town and everything. And then I had a stroke. And things are quite different for me from when before the stroke. So I had to all of a sudden get a rollator, which is like the walker.
On wheels.
But it's on wheels, yes. They took that in mind even in getting a place for me where my occupational therapist has been very wise in counsel, and she's helped me to reach and shower and do certain things. But it's very helpful. Like, for instance, I lost part of my memory. And so there are things that I forget easily or I don't register them properly. And so the assistance I've received from the peer, from my therapist, from everyone is sometimes an extra phone call or text message or something that reminds me or jogs my memory that I need to be at such and such a place at such and such a time. And even the arrangements of whether they will get me an Uber or whether or not they will have a company car, they accompany me to these places where I have to reach out to strangers. So the support has just been overwhelmingly wonderful.
I'm grateful to you both for telling us about it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Jennifer Randolph received housing through the Assistance in Community Integration Services pilot program. LaWanda Williams is Director of Housing Services for Healthcare for the Homeless. Earlier, we spoke with Christopher Thomas Cuddy, Senior Vice President for Clinical Programs and Chief of Staff at Mercy Health System. He serves on the Healthcare for the Homeless Board. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Glad you're listening. Join us again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.